listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow.
This is Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to Empower the Spirit. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. So glad to have you with us tonight on Sunday, August 7th, 2011. Empower the Spirit is a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science as part of our regular church services. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit. And tonight, we're going to be talking about glimpses of God. I'll tell you about how I saw God, or you can join me in the basket weaving class later. And of course, we'll have our guided meditation tonight. It'll be about 16 minutes on making your dreams come true is the theme of that. And this will be followed by Dr. Vicky's Psychic Perspective, coming up a little bit toward the top of the hour, in about an hour. She'll be taking your calls and offering psychic and spiritual insights for your life and advice, so you can call in for that. And let's see, I would like to welcome those who are listening live in the chat room. So glad you could join us tonight. Also welcome those who are listening to the archive of this program. Of course, there are other archives available, not only on Blog Talk Radio, but on mchschurch.org under the Church Services link on the navigation menu. You can listen to them right there. Number of topics. We've been discussing reincarnation the last two or three weeks and having some interesting discussions, and we'll be discussing that topic again in the coming weeks. Some perhaps new information, new hypotheses are being formulated as we speak. So we'll see what comes of that. Tonight, my topic is glimpses of God, and I'm going to talk about what that means. It's based on our principles of beliefs, number one and two, I should say. The church's principles of belief, number one and two. And I'll read those to you just so you can have them in mind. The first principle of belief is, as sentient and evolved human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Principle of belief number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Now tonight, you have an opportunity to call in, and I want to strongly encourage you to do so. I'm going to be discussing in just a few moments the concept or the topic of unsung heroes. So I want you to be thinking about that, your stories of unsung heroes, experiences you may have had. Just think about those and think about calling in and sharing your experiences. That'll come up in a few minutes. Not at this moment, but in a few minutes. I just wanted to get you thinking along those lines. Now, tonight, is at the risk of coming off as rambling, I'm going to share some thoughts with you tonight. I don't have a real script or, I had a little outline, but I've got some thoughts that I want to share, and I'm going to just think extemporaneously and speak that way. Let some thoughts unfold. I don't know if tonight's show is more for you or for me or for just both of us, so we'll see where we go with it. Now, this topic of glimpses of God, where did this come from? What does it mean? Well, it happened to me the other night. I was taking a trip down the street a few miles to the store, and I saw God. All right, what does that mean? I didn't, literally see God, but I did see God. And here's the story. I have some CDs of some music, some songs that I really love. I have several CDs, and I have them in the car, and I usually listen to them a song or two as I go down the road to the store here and there, run errands. So it's nighttime. I was in a mood, perhaps the right mood, listening to a beautiful song, several of them. One of them you're probably familiar with. It's the theme from Somewhere in Time, a beautiful song. And as I listened to the song, I don't know why, but it just dawned on me how much beauty there is in the human spirit. In other words, the human spirit is capable of producing such beautiful things, and this song was one of them. And I thought about the writer of the song. I thought about the arranger of the song. I thought about the producer. I thought about the orchestra, you know, the violinists, the musicians, and all of these human spirits coming together to produce a beautiful masterpiece, a beautiful thing. And in that, I saw God. The human spirit is God in this context, what I'm talking about here. The human spirit is complex. It's powerful. It's capable, of course, of unspeakable acts of harm, but it's also capable of unsurpassed acts of good and beauty. The human spirit is really a marvel for this reason, because it could be directed toward harm or toward ultimate good. And tonight, we focus on ultimate good. Now, I don't know if I can engender that vision in you like I had it the other night. I don't know about you. When you listen to a beautiful song, do you get into the emotion? Do you think about what it took to produce that thing? And music's not the only thing. The beauty of the human spirit can be expressed in many ways. One of them is music. Another one might be art. Another one might be good deeds. There's so many ways to express the beauty of the human spirit. And I took that glimpse of God, that is, the human spirit, and I applied it to life. And that's what we're talking about tonight. How do you express yourself? How do you express your beauty? Think about that for a moment. How do you express the good that you have within you? How do you express perhaps the dark side within you? Now think about that for a minute. I'll share something. Maybe it's a secret, and maybe it's a secret that you also share. I love people. Everything I do is for the benefit of humanity, the benefit of people. I help people. I've been helping people. That's just who I am, what I do. I love people. And at times, they can drive me crazy. How about you? Do you share that? I mean, think about it. You're driving down the road, and you're following Mr. or Mrs. O.B. Livius. Get it? I have too. And yet, I know that Mr. O.B. Livius has been me at times. So, you know, I get it. Sometimes that's the way it is. I get emails addressed to Metaphysics Institute asking me questions like, do you guys teach metaphysics? And I have to just smile, because of course the website's there and the answer's slapping them in the face. But that's people, and you gotta love them, and I have to love them. Otherwise, you know, I'd take a course in shallow grave digging, and that wouldn't be good. I mean, I'd go to jail for that. But people, you know, the reason that people drive me crazy at times is not due to them. It's due to me. It's due to me taking myself too seriously at times. How about you? Think about that for a moment. People are what they are. They're trying to do the best they can at the moment with the experience, the knowledge, the skills, and the level of awareness that they have at the moment. People, as a rule, do not lie awake at night and scheme against others trying to figure out ingenious ways of getting them. They just don't. By far, most people are simply so focused on eking out a living, getting by, and trying to figure out what the hell life is all about that they can just be ignorant at times. They can be ignorant of others around them. They can be ignorant of the plight of others around them. They can be thoughtless and discourteous. It's not malicious or intentional. It's simply due to a lack of higher awareness and appreciation for the plight of others. They simply overlook the fact that everyone almost is in the same existential boat. You know, we're all trying to figure it out. We're all trying to get ahead or get by or make sense of it. And so I have to remind myself of this. everything I do is for people because I love people. And I see people for what they are. My heart goes out to people. There's a lot of folks that are hurting. Maybe some of you listening to this program. And my heart goes out to you and to them. And that's why I do this program, to offer some kind of hope, to offer practical life skills, to offer tips, tools, techniques to get along better in life, to have better relationships, and to have a better relationship with you, with yourself, because that's really where it all starts. Everything you need is within you. Everything you need is within you. Well, as I mentioned, the human spirit is God. I mean, it is such a beautiful thing, such a powerful thing, and it can be expressed in many ways. One of them is in good deeds, and thus the topic of unsung heroes. I've been wanting to talk about this one for several weeks. According to the dictionary.com, the definition of unsung hero is a person who makes a substantive yet unrecognized contribution, a person whose bravery is unknown or unacknowledged. Well, what unsung heroes have you known? What did they do to be an unsung hero? I'd like to encourage you to call in and share your experiences. The numbers are on your screen. It's 714-459-3973. Love to hear your experience of an unsung hero, somebody you've known. Who are your unsung heroes? And I'll give you a few examples while I'm waiting for the flood of calls that are going to come in, right? Hint, hint. How about people as unsung heroes that just do right in everyday life? There's a lot of moms and dads who are taking care of the family, paying the bills, going to work, doing extra things. You know how it goes. Taking care of the kids, making sure the kids are raised, have what they need. Those are unsung heroes, aren't they? Because they, moms and dads often don't get the acknowledgement or the credit for all that goes into raising kids. Some other examples of unsung heroes is the person who might stop to help you fix a flat tire, or if you're broken down on the highway, stop to see if you need help, or other similar good deeds, helping people, helping the elderly, the Meals on Wheels, different organizations that are around the country and the world. I have some examples in my own life, just a few. I mean, there's probably a ton, but I'll just share a few. One recent example of an unsung hero, as far as I'm concerned, is a fellow that lives here in my area by the name of Jeff. He has an air conditioning business here in Florida. Of course, that's a good thing to be in Florida, especially in the summertime. Well, 2 or 3 weeks ago, on a Friday night, my wife Tracy comes home and says, "Wow, is the air conditioner off?" And it wasn't. It was still going, or trying to go, and it had stopped. And it was hot and muggy, like Florida is. And we're thinking, oh, no, that ain't going to happen. It's Friday. You know, wow, great timing or what? So we have used Jeff in the past. Tracy's used him from her where she works as well. We called, and he was done for the day, but he came right on over, and he had the thing fixed in a flash. It was nothing terribly serious, just a capacitor, but he had it fixed. But he came out, and he had a good attitude. I mean, he'd already gone home, taken his shower. He was ready to veg out for the night, and he came over, and because of his kindness, we didn't have to sweat for a weekend before we could get somebody in. Now, that may seem like just a small thing, but if you're here in Florida in the summertime, it's a big thing. It's a big thing. Now, here's the other side of that story, because I was telling my wife, Teresa, wow, you know, this guy, he's a great guy. I mean, that was really nice of him to do that. And she says, oh, he's done so many things for folks. He has done so many things for the elderly. You know, he's done extensive work for almost nothing because they didn't have the money. And, you know, she went on to tell me all these things. I'm thinking, wow, this guy gets it, you know. This guy gets it. And I really appreciated that. Just checking things. If you've got questions or you want to relate something in the chat room, you're more than welcome to. And I'm still waiting on the flood of calls, so call us in. If you've got an experience, a story of an unsung hero that you want to share, call in. 714-459-3973. The number's there on your screen. Let me share another story of an unsung hero. That is my wife, Tracy. And I'm trying to give you some examples of what the definition of unsung hero is. Jeff was one of them. Tracy's another one. Tracy is one of those, you know, upbeat, positive type people, you know, the kind that you want to strangle. I'm just kidding. She has always had what I call a positive consciousness. That's just her bent in life. It's been her bent in life since she was a little girl, because she made a decision as a little girl that she was not going to be negative like her father was. She was going to be positive and upbeat and see the world differently. And you know, something happened in her head back then, because it hardwired in her. And she has such a loving and giving spirit and kindly heart, kindly essence, that she just raises people and encourages them just by being around her. And that's one of the things, you know, people like her, they just a joy to be around. No wonder I married her. But that's who she is. And for that, she is an unsung hero, because she has encouraged numerous people, just not only deliberately, but also by just being who she is. Let's see, another person that was an unsung hero in my life, and if you've listened to my stuff or read my stuff, you'll know it's my father. My dad set a great example in this for me as a kid. I remember as a teenager, I had two different people come at different times say the same thing to me. And in essence, these two different people, several years apart, said, you know, if there were more people like your dad on the planet, the world would be a better place. And I don't know why, but that really impressed me. My dad was a good man. He died almost 10 years ago. He was a good man. He died with his music still in him, as I've mentioned before. But he did so many things that nobody will ever know about. He encouraged so many people. When I was going through his things, sorting them out after he passed away, you know, I found copies of letters, many, many letters that he had written to various people that he'd known. And they were encouraging letters. Just wanted to drop you a note and give you a word of encouragement. I know you've been going through a tough time. I want you to encourage you to hang in there, you know. And he would write things like that to people. And it was no surprise to me, because that's just who my dad was. He was a generous man, and he did right for people. And a lot of people benefited from that. And they'll never know. The world will never know about that. Another example of unsung heroes is my students. One of the things that continually impresses me is my metaphysics students, how every single one of them have noble desires to improve the world. They want to see the world as a better place. You can say, well, yeah, but everybody wants that. And I don't think so. Everybody does want that, but how many people are actually changing their lives or living their lives in an effort to do good and to do no harm and to raise the vibrational level of humanity? How many people are actually going to the extra effort that it takes to get trained and educated in some of these different fields and topics, such as spiritual counseling or coaching, you know, or metaphysical ministry, things like that, that where they can really be in a better position to help people help themselves? And my students are unsung heroes for that reason. One student I have in the Philippines, you know, doesn't make anything money-wise, you know, and yet is trying so hard to be a positive influence on the people there within his sphere of influence. That's just one. Students all over the world, in Africa, and on islands in the Caribbean, and of course the States and Canada and down under, and Asia, Malaysia, you know, they're all. That's the beautiful thing about it. They all have one goal. Let's help the world. Let's help humanity. Let's help people. And in the process, they help themselves. That is a beautiful thing. And so for that, to all my students, my hat is off to you. I applaud you, and I commend you for that attitude. All right, still no call-ins. but there's a couple of comments that I will take from the chat. Vicky says, I have one neighbor who happens to be 83 who's helped me around my acreage for no other reason than being neighborly. He often talks about the old days when people were more caring. He says people are too selfish these days, not caring about each other enough. And that, you know, that is true. And that's a great story too, Vicky. I mean, and that's the way it ought to be. And that is the way it is, though, many times. I love, you know, how we used to hear our parents or our grandparents saying, well, you know, kids these days just don't do this or they don't care or blah, blah, blah. The world's better, you know, worse than it used to be. Things are going to hell in a handbasket, all that stuff. You know, it's not true. It's the same thing, different decade. That's all. People are still people, and there's still a ton of caring people out there, a ton of people who really want to make a difference and who are making a difference every single day, and they don't get the recognition. They don't get the acknowledgement, but every one of them are out there doing something. In fact, it could probably be said that every one of us is an unsung hero at some point in our life, and many of us do that all the time. I've been talking about that. So, great experience. Yes, be neighborly. It is true that with technology and with the fast pace of life these days, yeah, there is less time to sit on the porch and visit with neighbors and that sort of thing. But it can still be done. John asks in Skype chat, give us your definition of an angel about this poem on the MCHS church site. And if you'll give me a minute, I'll go to that. It could be better to actually read it, you know, verbatim rather than to just comment on. But an angel, you know, obviously there's the typical definition of angels in the world religion and all that stuff. But there's this poem, and I didn't write this poem. The author is unknown. If you happen to know who it is, I'd love to know. But this is how it goes. It's not very long. Like the elderly, you know, the title of it is, What Do Angels Look Like? And it goes this way. Like the elderly person who returned the money you lost yesterday. Like the person who told you that your eyes light the world up when you smile. Like the person whose eyes light up whenever they see you. Like the small child who showed you the wonder in simple things. Like the homeless person who asked for money to buy something to eat, or the one who did not, but who just watched you as you walked by trying to ignore him. Like the person who showed you that it really is all possible if you believe. Like the stranger who just happened to come along when you had lost your way. Like the person who touched your heart when you didn't think you had one to touch. God's messengers come in all sizes and shapes, all ages and skin types, some with freckles, some with dimples, some with wrinkles, some without. They come disguised as friends, enemies, teachers, students, employers, employees, coworkers, and fools. They don't take life too seriously. They travel light. They leave no forwarding address. They ask nothing in return. They wear sneakers with gossamer wings. They get a deal on dry cleaning. They are hard to find when your eyes are closed, but they're everywhere you look when you choose to see. And that I agree with. You know, happiness is where you see it. Goodness is where you see it. And if you're stuck and glued to the TV, to the news stations, and to the newspaper and all that, you're going to get exactly what you're looking for. You're going to find out and be reminded of all the crap that's going on in the world today, which is basically there to promote fear anyway and to control. I don't watch the news, and I don't want to read the newspaper. If it's that important, I'll hear about it some way or another. But I'm not going to focus on that. I used to watch it all the time. I used to read the newspapers all the time. I don't do that. I haven't done it for years because I'm not going to focus on that. I don't have time for that stuff. There's too much good, and I need to focus on the good. I need to see the good in people. I need to focus on that good in people. You know, that's where it's at. Some other comments in in the chat room of Chuck talking about spiritual, how the word spiritual has gone out of vogue. And, you know, that's probably true, but it needs to come back in. I mean, we're all spiritual beings, and that's what we're talking about, spiritual things tonight on this program. It's all spiritual. You know, we are spiritual. And part of really living the spiritual human experience is being an unsung hero. So what about you? I haven't gotten any calls because nobody wants to share an experience of being unsung heroes, but I want you to think about that. Who are the unsung heroes in your life? I'll give you another example of an unsung hero in my life, and that's my son, who went through a terrible time with an alcoholic mother growing up till I got him out of it. And he's a great guy today and has done a ton of things for people, things I'll never know about. But you know what? I'm proud of him, and I'm proud of what he's become, and he's gotten through it. What about you? What about your past? What about your kids? What about your friends? You know, you've got unsung heroes all around you. Why not acknowledge them? And why not acknowledge the unsung hero in you? In fact, let's talk about that as we conclude this discussion, being your own unsung hero. How do you do that? Well, we've talked about it. You do good. Do right. You see, when we talk about doing no harm, that could be likened to kind of a passive approach. Do no harm. Just don't harm anybody. But there's also the other side of that, an active element. So you have the passive, do no harm, but then you have the active part of it. Do right. Look for ways to do right. Pay it forward. You've heard that. You saw the movie. And if you haven't seen the movie, go see the movie. It's been around for years. Pay it forward. Do a nice for someone. Here's an exercise that I have my students do when they take the first course of the metaphysics degree program. Why not spend the next 7 days looking for opportunities to do right? You may already have this mindset. In fact, a lot of students say, you know, that's just who I am, what I do. I look for opportunities to do right. But what I'm challenging you to do, whatever level you're at, look for other opportunities. Look for other ways to do right for people over the next 7 days. It can be anything. Holding the door for somebody. Picking up something for somebody. Whatever it may be, look for ways to do right and really make it a deliberate effort to do that over the next 7 days. And hopefully by that time, it'll just kind of stay with you and you'll continue to do that. Don't lose sight of that fact that everybody's trying to do the best they can with what they have to work with at the moment, the knowledge, the experience, the skills, the awareness. And that's one of the big things that we do, is trying to raise awareness of life, of the plight of others, help to bring that into consciousness. Don't do these deeds for the recognition or the acknowledgement, but do it for the higher good and for the inner satisfaction of knowing that you are part of the solution to this world's problems and not part of the problem. Give of yourself freely in a manner that's healthy, always remembering that if you want to keep more of the good that is within you, you got to give it away. You've heard the old saying, the more you give it away, the more you keep. Remember that. The goodness, the good qualities in you, the more you give away, the more you keep. Look for ways to give that goodness away, that positive consciousness, because that is the power, the beauty, the awe of the human spirit. Don't focus on the negatives. Focus on the positives. Focus on that beauty and the awe of the human spirit that is in you and in those around you. Use the power of your human spirit to raise your own awareness and that of others as you're able to recognize the plight of your fellow humans and honor the unsung heroes that are all around us. And in this way, you will most assuredly see God too. I hope this discussion has been of some value to you, been an encouragement to you, because that's what I was trying to do, and me at the same time. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a short song here, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to do the guided meditation, the theme of the one we're going to play tonight is making your dreams come true. So take a quick pit stop and come back in about 3 or so minutes, and we'll play that guided meditation. We are back. In just a moment, we're going to do the guided meditation, the soul light meditation. Before we do that, or during the meditation, I want you to just take a moment, send out some positive thoughts and energy to anybody you want, anybody who might be having a hard time, maybe to yourself. Send out some positive energy. Let's contribute to the universal consciousness of energy and of positive energy by just having that positive consciousness and those good intentions. You can keep that in mind as we get into this guided meditation. So in order to make the most of this meditation, the topic is Make Your Dreams Come True. It's about 16 minutes long. So take a moment to just sit back and relax. Hopefully you're wearing headphones or you're in some kind of a private area or whatever. Take a couple of deep breaths. Hold on to them for a moment. And just relax. Just take this time for you. Buy it out. It's your time. I'm going to play the guided meditation, and we'll come back and wrap up the show. Here we go.
This program is hypnotic in nature and is never to be experienced in a moving vehicle or other times when you need to maintain awakened consciousness. Welcome aboard your enlightening adventure. For if you've let so-called impediments prevent you from achieving your heart's dreams, then this is your time to sit or lie back more comfortably relaxed, perhaps reassured by the perseverance shown by the illustrious hero of Greek legend, Odysseus, whose ingenious ruse captured the Trojan city, and whose continual resourcefulness conquered each seeming adversity. Odysseus finally reaching his dreams by coming home to his own country. For isn't home where you bring your heart's dreams? Though as this long-told epic by sea unfolds, Odysseus is still far from home, stranded, moreover, with no form of navigation, on the land of the Lotus Eaters. Often misconstrued, these islanders, seemingly welcoming newcomers, generously offering some of their own food, a delicious plant everyone hungrily devoured. Though the lotus flower soon proven to be spurious, delicious, true, but those who partook of this flower food lost all thought, all longing for home and their own hearts' true dreams. Overwhelmed solely by their desire to dwell forever in the country of the soul-numbing lotus flower, growing ever more reconciled to while away the hours, engaged in the same humdrum everyday routine. The life of bemused comfort and seeming ease. And though Odysseus too partook of the lotus flower, resolutely focused upon his dream, deeply believed he was completely immune to the plant's power. For Odysseus sought far more than the familiar, secure routine. He sought to realize what makes him feel fulfilled, to take in his hands the life his own heart demands, actualize his genuine potential in his own homeland, and completely instilled with his mind's commanding vision, Odysseus chose to leave behind the island's secure comfort zone and really find his heart's true home, the home of his dreams. And so drawn to the shore, we see the hero, Odysseus. A look of purpose, of determination in his eyes, searching the horizon, the line where ocean currents meet clear blue skies, searching for the means to reach the home too long left behind. And with his known resourcefulness, he conceived a plan, and from some trees produced wood and vines too, to bind the wood and design a craft. A raft equipped with mast and sail, and at last he continued on his trail, seaward, toward his destined meeting with the source of his dreams. This magnetic force pictured within his mind's eye, luring, drawing him ever further inside. These seas wide, wide opening upon his dreams, as if decreed by the Olympic deities, predestined to be. And since we're all drawn by captivating dreams, you too may appreciate departing the familiar life routine, venturing inside your own heart's land of dreams. For herein resides a potent energy source, your infinitely magical life force, ready to formulate your most treasured imaginings. So even if you were once led astray by the naysaying did not yet realize the energizing force of your own dreams, then you can especially enjoy journeying inside your life force, only desiring to be summoned forth. So you are provided your freedom, effortless freedom, to gratify your life's deepest fantasies. Yes, you can enjoy not having to do anything. You don't even have to listen to me, because your inner, wiser self is exploring for you. You're transporting life-transforming adventure. For you know when you're drifting within, inwardly, your deeper self can conceive visionary dreams. In those dreams, you can venture wherever you desire, even explore far across these ocean seas to see a few misty, wispy clouds shrouding otherwise clear blue skies as you lie back, more comfortably relaxed upon your own craft. Your raft equipped with mast and sail, a breezy gale speeding you onward on your trail, right inside the wide opening life force sea. These currents streaming forth confident energy, leading you homeward right toward your dreams. And so as you breathe in deeply, the gentle ocean breeze, when do you perceive how your breathing movements more closely resemble the rise and fall of these streaming currents? How each rise and fall of your chest and abdomen send currents of your own life sea streaming soothingly through you and enlightening you with the confident belief you can live your life as you demand your life to be. Your commanding dream, your destination, serenely pictured in your mind's eye. With each breath deep, perceive inside your positive conviction. You need only ride freely astride your own life stream, your life force releasing freely all the resources you need to keep you on course to your dream. And isn't it a comforting feeling to depend on your own current flow, trusting the current knows just where to go? So even on seeming stormy, turbulent occasions, when rough seas seem to toss your craft to and fro, you need only breathe deeply the renewing ocean breeze. For how soon before you realize skies growing fair, clearing the ocean more gently streaming. For each breath, deep, sending currents of confident energy pouring warmly through you, the inner certainty you can do whatever necessary to achieve your dreams, your life force steering you clear through ever-comer seas, preserving you on your unswerving, uniform course. Your dreamed destination, so deeply believed, sends within your persistent spirit. So those seeming rough seas are simply your invitation to become stronger, more resourceful in your solutions. Your magical source, formulating the precise inspirations you need, strengthening you with your confident expectancy. I can live my life as I demand my life to be. Yes, as you're streaming forward with your own life sea, sense the force in your demeanor, a new commanding presence. absolute assurance you can achieve your dreams, as if decreed by a friendly providence, predestined to be. So those occasions the wind seems to cease, life seems to take the wind from your sails, and you make slow headway upon your trail, you need only remember those earlier occasions when you really came through, maintained your chosen course of navigation, reached your heart's true destination. For when your body breathes more deeply, deeply, perceive each breath drawing forth once more your self-assurance, your commanding sense of confidence, pouring warmly through you and so thoroughly energizing you. How soon before you realize, rising right from behind you, a gale of wind is streaming, swelling your sails, propelling you forward, your renewed resolution, your enthusiasm leading you onward on your trail. Right by the island of the sirens, those melodious singers who try to mystify mariners with naysaying songs, long rhapsodies of their so-called worldly wisdom, really a concoction of misconceived, misleading notions, intended only to lure sailors astray, away from their true destination, and draw them to the siren's land instead, the island of the narrow-minded. For those with an expanded awareness perceive most certainly, as do you, you can achieve your own commanding dreams. So as your body naturally breathes more deeply, deeply, how soon before you sense, emerging forth freely, your stream of confident energy, now streaming out, outwardly, swirling about and surrounding you, all the confidence you feel, your own potent force field, shielding you completely from those naysaying tunes, as you stream right by secure, self-assuredly relaxed, as if your ears were closed by wax, and so choosing to leave the sirens far, far behind, why not spend your time with those more positive in mind? For do you find the confident energy that shields you is positively too an attractive force field, drawing to you energy of a similar nature to your own, so you likely notice, as if magically, just the right opportunities and the right people too seem to be drawn to you, offering all the support you need on your course to your dreams. So if you require faster means to reach your destination, don't be surprised to realize solutions right in front of you, like presently a favorable wind leading your raft to the island kingdom of the Phaeacians, reputed seamen proficient in the craft of navigation, their palace rising higher, higher before you. So when you come ashore, how soon before you venture through this palace courtyard, the royal guard summoning you within the main chamber room to meet the learned elders, concertedly greeting you with the honor due an adventurer of the ocean sea. Surely these paragons of wisdom are charmed, captured by your alluring dream, naturally drawn toward your self-assurance inside. For they admire the force of your positive conviction, your enthusiasm, your passion for life, your eyes shining with expansive vision, and desire only to support you and give you a hand, even furnish you with a ship to speed you forward to your destined meeting with your own homeland, your dream.
right as you relax, take a deep breath, and just open your eyes, come back around. Just enjoy the good feeling of relaxation, remembering to always do good, do right, pay it forward. Spend the next 7 days looking for opportunities to do a nice, to do right, over and above what you typically do. Look inside yourself and find that divinity. Look inside yourself and see God. I hope you enjoy the guided meditations that we do from time to time, and I see some comments in the chat room wondering if that's me doing that one, and these particular meditations are not me, although I will be in the future doing some similar ones to it, but I enjoy them. I think they're good. There's also a question in there about can you purchase these on CD? You can't currently, but I am. Over the next few days, we'll put them in the MCHS store that you can purchase them on download and listen to them. There's I've got several of them, so I appreciate that, and I will put them in the store over the next few days, so make an announcement. And another question that I have is, for some of those who are frequent listeners, do you enjoy the guided meditations? And if so, do you have another topic? Because I'm looking for topics, and I can produce some myself. So if you have some comments, let me know those comments or those topics. The questions are, who is it that's doing it? And the answer is, I don't know the name of the person who's doing it. I purchased these for resale and have the license to resell them, but I don't know who it is that actually does it. But I think that he personally does an excellent job. He really understands hypnosis and guided imagery and does a good job. Next week, I'm going to have a guest on the program, Mark L. Cowden. He's an audio technician doing work on TV shows in the UK. He's going to be talking with us from Belfast, Ireland. He wrote a book on spirit voices, and he has an interesting experience that he actually recorded some. So join us next week for that. Tell others about the show if you like it. If you like what you're hearing, please join us at the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. You'll find us on the web at mchschurch.org. If you'd like to learn more about metaphysics and even get your bachelor's, master's, or PhD degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. That wraps up my part of the program. Please stay tuned for Dr. Vicki following immediately. This is Doug Kelly encouraging you to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Have a great week.
This has been Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly. To learn more about the concepts presented in this program, visit mchschurch.com. To take a metaphysics course or to get your metaphysics degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.com.
Power of the Spirit is a production of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, Incorporated.
This is the MCHS Educational Network. Please visit us at mchschurch.org. This is Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective on the MCHS Educational Network. And now, Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective, another Sunday evening. Glad you could all join us. And keep in mind that this is a live call-in show. Whether it's in the chat room or you want to phone in, the number is at the top of the screen. I am available to help answer your calls. Tune in to my people. So I have anything that you have that you'd like to know about for yourself or for others, or a question, please don't hesitate to join us. Join us, please. One of the things that I, in keeping with the previous show and what Doug was talking about, general kindness and those God experiences that we have, what I wanted to bring into tonight is what I call the 13 principles for living. Now, just a little background to this I'd like to share with you. A few years ago, I have done an extensive work, by the way, in addictions and the work with addictions and writing about addictions. I have many colleagues and friends who work in the field of addictions and assisting, and in particular, my good friend Colleen, who works in our inner city, working with young people, and again, specializing in addictions. So there's a lot of good people out there doing a lot of good work. But Colleen and I would often talk about that there was no particular guideline, particularly non-religious guideline, or any kinds of sayings that we could impart to people who are in addictions recovery, for instance, that weren't typically of a Christian kind of ilk. And so we would brainstorm, and I'd come up with stuff, and then we'd go over it together and come up with stuff and go over it together, together again. We called it the Indigenous Spirituality for Addictions. So the acronym was ISA. Now, ISA is also the Norse mother of winter, where there's always life underneath. So it seemed appropriate that we would call it that, and we did come up with these 13 principles for living. As it developed, they're basically principles for living for everyone, not just exclusive to people dealing with addictions or other kinds of problems that causes, let's say, inappropriate or dysfunctional behavior. So I'd like to share those principles with you now, and we'll go from there. And at any time, if you have a question, again, please don't hesitate to put it in the chat. I'll get to it, or give us a call. Thanks. Principle for living number one. I am a human being with a natural place on this planet in this lifetime. I recognize that my thoughts and actions affect events. I trust there is a universal library in which all things are filed and that I am given power to change my own. I decide how I want to play my part and interact with others. Number two, I accept that I am a spiritual being learning to become a better human being within a human family. And I recognize that there are times when I must look to others for guidance. I know I must look to those who are good examples for learning and growing, rather than looking for approval from those who are not. Number three, my thoughts are my own, even though it's easy to be influenced by others. I recognize some thoughts are not of my own creation, but planted by others. I know that I weed the garden of my own mind to decide what ideas or beliefs I keep for myself. This is my responsibility to myself, deciding how I want to play my part on earth. Number four, what I put into my body is a choice. It's a decision. Eating the foods that my body requires are my decisions to make for what's in keeping with the part I want to play as a human being. I am learning to better recognize how my mind, thinking, and emotions are affected by what I put into my body. ISO Principle for Living number 5. I change the past by how I view it, regard it, embrace it, for all that is shown and taught to me. There is no shame in weakness, vulnerability. There is only space for opportunities to change a thought that opens for possibilities. Number 6. I am better able to recognize the differences between reasons and excuses for behavior that's not good for me and others. I recognize there may be understandable reasons I have walked the path that I have, but that to dwell on these reasons promotes excuses that prevent me from making improvements that I decide are best for me. Number 7. I decide the importance and value of my place on earth and within the universe. I realize it's natural to have times when I will feel lonely, vulnerable, and lost, yet I know I'm not alone. I only need to look around to know that I'm part of a human family with a purpose for being here on earth. I only need to take a breath of air to feel that I am a part of a spiritual universe. Number 8. I know that when I am in need of help, I only need to ask Creator and have faith. I also know that people cannot know what I need or what I require unless I communicate it. I must remain steadfast on the journey for discoveries, even in the face of obstacles, because I realize that obstacles are natural and inevitable for every human being. All of life is an energy that is changeable, provided I take the first steps to live it for myself. Number 9. I recognize others look to me and follow my example. No matter my role, I will do my best to present myself as an individual who is learning and growing, someone who is thinking and acting their best at this time. Number 10. I recognize that it's better to replace the word judgment with opinion, so my mind will remain open and flexible, and for my heart to grow compassionate. I am free to change my mind at any time, realizing that I have more information and knowledge today than I did yesterday. I will help to share that sometimes, in order to move forward, also means to make changes that are not always comfortable. Number 11. I will do my best to not bring harm to others with my words and actions. If my ignorance causes difficulty for others, I know it's natural to learn from error and that I'm able to change my thoughts and behaviors. I also know that sometimes to make changes or to stand in what is naturally correct and right may bring discomfort to others. I will remind myself that I am doing my best to remain a learning and growing example of what it is to be a better human being. Number 12. I recognize that life is filled with love and joy, and even pain and suffering. I only need remind myself that all things are temporary. I only need remind myself that I am responsible for the well-being of my mind and body in this moment, but only insofar as it supports what is I'm responsible for others, but only insofar as it supports what's in good keeping with the decisions I make for the betterment of myself as a good and contributing human being. Number 13, I promise to honor all life and all that gives life. I promise to permit moments in every day to be grateful for the fires that continue to sustain my own life. I am here for a reason. Even if I don't know what that reason is, I am on a path of discovery, participating with my unique contributions on this planet Earth. These 13 principles for living are going to be available through MCHS Church. It would be nice if there's a donation that could go along with it, if to download it as a program. But also, if anyone is interested, if you have a group or organization, this is a not-for-profit little booklet that can be put together. And in the various forms, or if you would like to take it to your group or organization, that's what it's for. It is one of those things that we pass forward. And again, in keeping with my philosophies, your philosophies, and again, the MCHS Church philosophies, with gratitude, of course, to my friend Colleen, who is a Cree elder in the far north country of Canada, and she spends an awful lot of time working with young people, teaching her culture, and I know that this is from the goodness of her heart also. So in keeping with, again, giving it forward and doing for others sensibly, practically, without bringing harm to others, but most of all, don't harm yourself. So I hope that that comes of that's of some benefit to yourself. And again, you can mull those things over. I know it's a lot, perhaps, in just a few moments. But, you know, it's also one of those little booklets that we found people, and certainly myself, that, you know, if you do write them down and copy them down, download them, you know, every day you just open your little booklet and what's my message of the day? So it tends to help us have little reminders, those little things every day that we have to tell ourselves. So I'm going to just check back here in the chat. I see some things have been going on. Catherine had said, Vicki has said that she talks with her invisible friends. I was wondering if their voices could be recorded. You know, that's really interesting, Kathy, that you should ask that, because I know a lot of readers over the years have recorded readings. Mine very rarely work. I don't know why. I have this thing about electrical stuff. Maybe about 20% of the time, readings that I've taped will actually work. Usually they go garbly. There's this fuzzy sound, or, you know, any imaginable electrical sounds will come through on a tape. You know, for a lot of years, I just chalked it up to, oh, well. Because, you know, once you hear those irritating playback things, you just push the stop button. However, probably about 12 years ago, a client brought me her recording, and there was a British man speaking on the tape. And I was amazed. I didn't hear, it wasn't entirely audible, and we didn't sit down and analyze, try to write it out. But I was really impressed, and it did get me to thinking that if I were an investigator of sorts, then I might have spent an awful lot more time. Usually, though, when I do readings for people, I just get about the business of being with my client, and I'm not worried about the experimentation, so to speak, necessarily whether or not that's going to be recorded. So I understand that we have a call. So, hello?
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 Yes, can I get your first name from you?
My name is Amber.
Amber? What's your Amber. Birthday, Amber? Amber.
What's my birth?
Sorry.
What's yeah, what's birthday? My birthday?
Yes.
October 29th.
Well, and what year were you born?
1996.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a particular question for me tonight, Amber?
Yes, I do.
All right. I'll see if I can help you.
Okay. I'm a friend of Becky's, so this is like my first time listening to you.
Hello, Amber. It's nice to meet you. Friend of Becky's.
Yes.
Okay.
She has this little puppy that I want. I wanted to know if you see him anywhere in my future.
Oh, I'm not getting into this one at all, Amber. You're going to have to talk to Becky about that. that's pretty sneaky, though. That's pretty good. Amber, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I have a question for you. Do you find very often with yourself that you get these really brilliant ideas and you get very frustrated and you don't know what to do with them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you love art?
Some.
Do you like bright colors?
Definitely.
Yeah. Do you like to paint by any chance?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I can see that you could really channel this energy of yours into painting. And I think you could probably do some pretty extraordinary stuff. Do you like abstract?
I think so.
Abstract or the anime stuff or, you know, No? But I think if you try your hand at it. You know, sometimes you can get these really economical rolls of brown paper, and they're not very much money, and paints can be cheap. You can find probably a dollar store somewhere and brushes. And maybe try your hand at just rolling out the paper, you know, taping it up on a wall, and see what comes out. Because I think that would be a great way for you to channel energy and channel your ideas. Because I can just see you, like, writing all over a wall.
Thank you so much. I will try that.
I can't help you with the puppy. Sorry, Amber. I would love to. You know, you will have puppies in your life. You will have animals and pets in your life. But I'm not going to say it's necessarily going to be today. You have to really take it up with your parents. But really, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for answering my question.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
You know what, I love it that young people are participating, and thanks, Becky, for encouraging Amber and introducing the show. So that's fun. Now, I'm going to go back to the chat room here for a moment. And Catherine is asking, are you referring to your voice in the readings or your invisible friends' voices? Yeah, I guess I didn't clarify that very well. sometimes my voice won't come out very well on the tape at all either. But it's just garbly altogether on a tape. So I was amazed that in this particular recording, that with the British gentleman, it was this very background. It's like he was at the back of the room speaking somehow in his British accent, you see. And I was really quite amazed with that. And the reading, she could actually hear the reading. So I was impressed. So I think perhaps that there may come a time when I would do a little more experiment. So I understand, if I can shift gears here for a moment, I do understand from a very brief conversation with Doug Kelly today that he's had a couple of revelations about reincarnation or things that he is now mulling around in his head. And as a prelude to next week's show, which I think this fellow coming on next week is very exciting, and I hope all of you tune into that show because I'm mesmerized by him. It's great. If we can have Doug Kelly join us, I would really enjoy to hear from Doug what other kinds of ideas he's mulling around these days. Are you there, Doug?
Hey, Vicki.
Hello, Doug. I am. I'm dying to hear what kinds of ideas you've been plucking out of the universe to. Yeah, because I think that's great. I do.
Well, you know, obviously, anybody who's been listening to the show the last month or so knows that, you know, we've been exploring reincarnation. And we you know, I've been exploring reincarnation. I mean, a lot of people believe in it. I have always resisted it, you know, dragged my feet all the time on it, and am continuing to explore it with an open mind. And, of course, we had Melissa Watts, we had Mike Voice on. I did a show a month or so ago on it. That's talking about some of my issues with it. And I haven't gotten all the issues figured out, but I have some. And my wife Tracy and I were talking last night, and I, by no stretch of the imagination, have this thing all figured out. But I think I'm on to something. And there's a couple of key points, and I'm not going to go terribly deep into it tonight. I'm going to save that for once I get it all at least fleshed out and save that for another show. But but some of the concepts, and I'm open to feedback from anybody too. Just email me, admin@mchschurch.org, or you can put it in the chat room if you haven't tonight. But a couple of concepts. One, some of the things that I know, initially one of the issues I had with reincarnation is so many different reincarnation beliefs talk about how we have to come back, you know, we are reincarnated. And that always bothered me because it basically violated free will. So everything I observe in the universe, in life, smacks of free will. So I have a compelling basis for assuming that free will is a universal constant wherever we're at, whatever life we're in, whatever realm we're in. It's got to be a universal constant, free will. So that means, all right, fair enough, you don't have to come back. Some people do choose to come back, but you don't have to come back, so that's cool. But that kind of went into another concept. What if, and these are some what ifs, these are some things I'm exploring, what if the majority of humanity is not reincarnated? What if only a handful of people, brave souls I might add, have decided to come back and for a work, for to help humanity evolve, whatever that is? What if this is where it starts? Because that was another issue. Where does it all start? You know, where are these consciousnesses, these souls born? Where do they originate? Well, what if it's here? What if it's in this universe, you know, whether on this planet or another? What if this is it? This is where they start. And we obviously go through this life. When we die, we move on to the next chapter and have an option of coming back. Some people come back to help. Some come back to help souls evolve. Other people think, why the hell would I want to ever come back here?
Very interesting. I, many years ago, encountered, I had a very similar discussion with a Buddhist woman that I knew. Bless her. She's gone now. But what she had said, because I remember telling her, oh, this is my last lifetime. I am so out of here. And she gave me a very apt visual to say, if we are indeed traveling the spiral of light, and the spiral of light is love, and we look back and we see, you know, our brethren, our fellow humanitarian, you know, our species suffering, but if we're really full of love, don't we naturally want to go back and help? So that's kind of in keeping with what you're saying, and that was by her philosophy. And, you know, it was so visual, the way she was describing it. I never got it out of my head. And I must say, and I think I'm human like most people, I think, coming back again, what was I thinking?
Well, yeah. But if you think about that whole concept, I mean, it explains so much. You know, not the vast majority of humanity under this hypothesis would not be reincarnated. Some would, and of course, that's why we have relatively few people having these past life memories. They're just a handful, really, compared to the whole race, you know, the whole population, world population. So that would explain that. And so these people that come back, either, you know, people, I mean, look at us. We have diverse interests, all of us. Some people would enjoy coming back and living lives as humans. Others want to come back to help souls evolve, you know, help consciousnesses evolve and grow. And so, you know, that if you've also bring that over to animals, what about animals? Because, you know, I think on Melissa Watt's show, we talked about how animals will reincarnate with an owner even. Mm-hmm. And what... What if, you know, this is it. This is where it all starts in this universe. This is the starting point. So now all these animals that we have, pets and so forth, you know, they are a species in and of themselves. You know, they do what they do. And it's like a dog is a dog and a cat is a cat. And they live in the moment of now. They're within their limits of their capabilities and their abilities. They, you know, they just be, which actually has some great sense in it. They're just there. And they live their life in their own way. Well, humans are a different species. We have different abilities. We have extended consciousnesses. We have extended abilities, capabilities. So we live our life the way it is. And for us, that means discovery. That means exploration. That means growth. And so whether we're in this realm or we are in the next one, we're continuing that. What if the next realm is much like this one? You know, just same thing, only different. Maybe we have more capability of creating with our intentions in the next one. I don't know. But what if that's just it? And I'm contrasting this hypothesis with some of the common ones, like, well, you know, we start out as a cockroach, and then we gravitate up to a rat, and then, you know, we move into another animal, and then we become a human, and then we become this and that and the other thing, and we go through all these stages until we can be one with God. And, you know, what if that's not it? What if we are just who we are, and we gain fulfillment, everlasting, eternal fulfillment from just being who we are, whatever realm we're in, and we continue to grow and to really fulfill our purpose, and in that way, we're always happy. You know, we're all fulfilled.
Over the years, I've had a lot of different theories put to me because I've been very curious. You see, Doug, honestly, in my lifetime, since I was a child, I've never known people to not imagine that reincarnation would be true. So I come from a very opposite place, and I've had to get my intellect to decipher things. But I've had many proposed theories, of which I'm not sure yet, I must tell you. As far as animals, the Buddhists believe that we can come back as an animal. And, you know, my granddaughter said the other day, you know, when I come back next time as a dog, and, you know, and although very innocent, she's 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's in keeping with a Buddhist theory that all life being connected, that we can get demoted, so to speak, I guess, if there is such a thing. I don't know, maybe dogs are smarter than we are, and we think. But equally, one of my other great mentors, a metaphysician, believes that every life on Earth has its own frequency to reincarnate within. And perhaps dogs and cats would be on a similar frequency that they could, you know, come back as a dog or a cat. But that humans have their own frequency to continually come back as. You know, I think, again, if we truly believe that all the universe is connected, I think any and all things are possible. You know, and maybe it does happen if you look at the circle from this side, and maybe it doesn't happen if you look at the circle from that side. But in my view, as much as I really have questioned at times, what was I thinking? I believe that I chose to come here. I accept full responsibility for that. That is, you know, what... that's basically, it was my choice to come here, although not conscious as we know consciousness. So it just shifts a little bit, and it's, I guess, to think not in a linear or emotional view, but to think from a more objective place. So at least I'm thinking that way. I understand mm-hmm. that we have a call waiting right now, Doug.
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
No, that was before.
Ah, okay. Previous. Sorry. I just got beeped. So,
yeah. Are you in?
That's okay. Sorry. So I think that if we are in the study of the mind. It is our own minds that we must be satisfied with. You know, we often make jokes, and even in the chat room, about, geez, we're being kooky today, or entertaining another, you know, a bunch of kooks. That's okay to me, as long as we know that. And we know that we're entertaining a notion that's outside the notion that's outside the notion. And if it suits us, if it's right for us in that particular incarnation at that time, then that's just got to be okay. You see, from the beginning of my lifetime, even as a child, I had dreams of other times and places. And I come from a life that I didn't have TV till I was 9. There was no TV in our house. Once in a while, we got to listen to a radio, and, you know, we had 78s on the little player, but I was uncontaminated with things like television and what we have today. I remember I could tell you streets of Chicago. I could tell you other cities and where I'd been, how I fell, actually jumped over in the back alley off this wrought iron fire escape.
Are you talking about a past life?
A past life. And that dream reoccurred until I decided to sit down with it when I was probably 21. And in that moment of sitting down with that lifetime, it was like talking to myself. It's like sitting myself across the table and saying, look, if you don't get it right this time, you're going to have to come back and do this again. It's like I was insistent to learn something that I wasn't conscious of, that I had to get past my fear of it, my pain of it, my something. So is coming to a lifetime conscious? I think not as we know consciousness to be. Because, I mean, I could find a whole lot of other ways of dealing with that stuff. But from what the soul or the spirit is addressing at its level, it will persist to come back. But keep in mind, though, I mean, I have to, you know, put in here that I remember being in Egypt, China, excuse me, all kinds of time and place. I have memory of being a Buddhist monk born in 950 in Tibet. I have zero connection with the time of Christ to 950 AD. I have no affinity. It's like I wasn't here. So very interesting for me that I just don't feel it. But so for me, it's reassuring to me that I will see everyone and anyone again, another time and space, to do it again in another way, and that's a good thing. That's the blessing to me. So it's the axiom, really. It's the way we see it. To me, it doesn't minimize life. It actually values. Life takes on a whole new value then. At least for me, anyhow.
That's good.
If that makes sense. But this is the beauty of discussion. It's the beauty of discussion with no judgment or imposing. You know, if I just tell you where I come from and you're telling me where you come from, telling the audience or the students and people sharing, I'm not stuck in any one particular thought, because for the grace of age, I know that I may know level 1 of 3 million levels to learn.
Oh, God. Thanks for that.
It's a forever-changing place. It bends and moves and changes as I become more open and less attached. So it's just, this happens to be my experience. Could it be a figment of imagination plucked from the cosmos? Absolutely. But it works for me.
So do you think that everybody was reincarnated? Or has been?
I can't answer that. I had never entertained the notion that they weren't. But when that question is put to me, I suppose I'd have to say, you're likely right. Maybe this is some people's first time in. Maybe they haven't been here before. Maybe they belong with a different cluster of souls. I go with the theory of clusters that, imagine that you know, a whole bunch of souls together saying, okay, let's all take a dive. You know, we're going in. And so they go together, because I think souls are also collectives in a way, not just humans. To me, as above, so below. So if I can find a theory that works down here, I like to find a theory that works up there as well.
And if see, that's an interesting comment, and I've heard that one, obviously. That's even in the Bible, you know.
Yeah.
And what if,
well,
what if that next life is essentially this one with perks, so to speak, or same mm-hmm. thing, only different, you know, same well, thing, well, so is above, so is below.
Well, running water is a perk.
Yeah.
You know, if we think about it, history as we know it, we've never had this many perks. And the perks that we do have that provide for us as human beings is only 50 years old. Really.
I'm not talking about technology. I'm talking about consciousness perks, you know, the ability mm-hmm. to create with intention, you know, more than we can here. I mean, we can here, too. It's just that it's slow going and it takes a lot of effort and work. And, you know, who knows?
But there's a lot of civilizations that were very advanced also. So who's to say it just didn't do another spin in the cycle? You see, that is where it kind of stops for me, because I don't know.
And see, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a theory of everything when it comes to reincarnation. You know, how do we understand, how do we understand life? And if some people have been reincarnated, does that mean everybody has? And where does it start? You know, where do the souls originate? How do we factor in animals? You know, do insects factor into this at all? You know, there's a lot of questions that I'm coming up with a hypothesis to answer these different questions, because to me that would make so much sense, and it would be very comforting. You know, it's a very comforting hope. You know, that, like you said, you know, we'll all be together again with whomever, with loved ones, with friends, with whatever, you know, whoever, and that's not it. And if you don't want to come back, you don't have to. You move on to whatever.
Well, now that I believe, if you don't want to come back, you don't have to. Absolutely. I mean, if you have it that you're done, or you're on hiatus, or, you know, you're on time out, like, you're not going to do that. I think that that's absolutely true. I can't imagine it not being true. The soul can't be made to do anything it doesn't want to any more than humans can, you know. So that makes sense. You don't want to come back, you're not coming. I don't know what happens as a result. What is the aspiration, inspiration at that point? I wouldn't know that. I can guess, mm-hmm. but I don't know.
Well, I'll ask the question. Go ahead.
Yeah. Catherine had asked a question about how many souls can there be, and it's infinite. I think this is where we can get into kind of quantum physics. Like, there's so many dimensions, you can't count them. Infinite numbers of dimensions. And I think where we are in this thread of consciousness is just one kind of linear reality or dimension. And that's the one that we're dealing with. So, and then how it loops around in circles. So think of a little dot in the middle of a big ball. You know, it's everything and anything. So how many souls can there be? Lots.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is something to be said for the saturation of a population at this point, where souls are coming back very fast, where there's a lot of memory that comes forward. And one of the theories that I have is that people are confused in time and space in realities now often, and can't seem to get grounded because there's so much fast-forward memory. Like, let's say where it would have been 100 years between lifetimes, now there's 5 years, there isn't enough adjustment time, perhaps. And that's where a lot of reality confusion comes in. And that's my my theory, and that's why I think a lot of anxiety happens. That's at a soul level. And this is where I love the work of exploring past lives and that some of your guests have had on lately that can make peace with the spirit. The spirit self can make peace with itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I do think that we have an overabundance of souls at the moment, and there is some confusion. And but you know what you said at the very beginning, Doug, of your program, I mean, I absolutely believe in the will of the human spirit. And, you know, the will of that, the power of God, if you will, the power of the great spirit, the power of world maker, whatever term you want to give it, that power of the energy that exists within us, that keeps us and sustains us as part of the universe, is infinite. I mean, all the possibilities are there. And but I'm really glad for the discussions. I think these discussions certainly stimulate my mind, and I know that they stimulate other people as well. So I know that Catherine was saying that was a continuation of that question was a continuation of a previous one, but I thought it was a good standalone question by itself, Catherine. So I hope that's all right. So, past lives to me are just as real as now, but there's also that other reality of many spirits and other invisible beings, and that life is all around us. To me, that's you can get a little bit lonesome for human company, but you're really never alone spiritually. You know, we always have someone, something, somehow embracing us as we move through life, because we are not that autonomous. We have a free mind, a free will, but we're all in this. We're all in this together. Mm. So
we are.
You know, this is where I could just go on and on. But it is the end of another show coming up here. Does anybody have any questions quickly before we close the show? I know there's been some chatter in the chat room, but thank you very much, everybody. And there will be, if you want to write to me and ask any questions through mchschurch.org, we are setting up an email account for my email account for myself. So Vicki@mchschurch.org, that'll be set up this week. So if you want to fire in some questions too, or any comments that you have, any ideas. And also, I would like to extend students of the school or members of the church, if you would like to come on and maybe co-host or be a guest or share an experience live with your voice on air, please feel free to join in. It's your show too. So thank you very much again, everyone. Happy
Sunday.
And thanks
to John Hightower too for screening calls.
Thank you, John. Thanks, John. Great guy. Have a good week, everybody. Good night.